All right, folks, welcome back to the Daily DOGE Report, Season 3, Episode 5.
Five.
It's your boy Caleb here, along with
Grace.
Grace. How are you doing today, Grace?
I am fantastic, Caleb. Ready to dive into some DOGE action.
You know, some serious DOGE action. And, you know, it's always a good day when we can talk about how our favorite patriot is shaking things up in that swamp they call Washington.
Oh, absolutely. And this time, we're going deep on something everyone loves to hate. Government spending and how they use our hard-earned tax dollars.
That's right, Grace. And from what we've gathered, it looks like early April 2025 was a busy time for DOGE.
Busy indeed. We've got intel from April 4th through the 7th, a whole bunch of notes and summaries, basically a whirlwind tour of how DOGE was streamlining things, cleaning house, and really making a statement.
So let's get this deep dive started and see what gems we can unearth.
Let's do it.
All right, folks, buckle up. It's time to dive headfirst into the swamp. And today, we're wrestling with a particularly interesting gator.
A gator with a taste for red tape, perhaps.
You got it. We're talking about the Department of Government Efficiency, better known as DOGE. Established, just a few short months ago, on January 20th, 2025. Ring a bell. Second Trump administration.
Yes. A rather bot-pointed start date. And set to disappear, like a magician's rabbit, on July 4th, 2026. A real firework finale for this department, wouldn't you say?
You said it. It's a temporary task force with a very specific set of teeth aiming to chomp down on inefficiency across the whole federal landscape. They're headquartered, fittingly enough, at the Eisenhower Executive Office Building in D.C. Talk about a power address.
It really does make you wonder about the kind of impact they're aiming for in such a compressed time frame. What's the thinking behind this short, sharp shock to the system, and can they really deliver meaningful change before the clock runs out?
Well, that's what we're here to find out, right? Today, we're giving you a glimpse into DOGE's whirlwind activities between April 4th and April 7th. Just a few days, but trust me, they packed a punch. Now, where did this whole DOGE thing even come from?
Well, the story goes that it was born out of conversations between, of all people, Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And get this, Musk is actually a senior advisor to the whole shebang.
Now, that's a power duo. Makes you wonder what those brainstorming sessions look like.
No, I can only imagine. Probably a whiteboard covered in flowcharts, efficiency algorithms, and maybe a doodle of a rocket launching a filing cabinet into space. You know, for streamlined document delivery.
Huh, exactly. But seriously, folks, this isn't just some back-of-the-napkin idea. DOGE was officially brought into existence by Executive Order 44158. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely. It's part of a whole ecosystem of executive orders aimed at shaking up the federal machine. You've got EO4, 44170, tackling hiring reforms, EO14210, targeting workforce optimization. They're looking at everything from USAID and the CFPB to the Department of Education and the Social Security Administration. No stone unturned, you could say.
Real bureaucratic blitz. And let's be honest, you, our listeners, you're busy people. You want the meat of the matter without having to wade through mountains of government jargon. And that's exactly what we're going to give you. So let's jump right in. First order of business. Modernizing technology doesn't exactly sound like a thriller, but trust me, it's got some juicy bits.
Oh, absolutely. On April 4th, the GSA IT team, bless their hearts, decided it was time to tackle a relic of the past. 14,000, yes, you heard that right, 14,000 magnetic tapes. Imagine the dust on those things. They converted them all to digital records.
14,000? I mean, that's like finding a stash of floppy disks in your grandpa's attic. But wait, there's more. This little spring cleaning is going to save taxpayers a cool $1 million annually. That's a whole lot of dough for hitting the delete button on some outdated tech.
It really highlights the problem of clinging to these legacy systems in government. Some of this technology might be older than bell bottoms. This isn't just about penny pinching. It's about making information accessible, making it secure, making it actually useful in today's world. It's a foundational shift that can have a ripple effect across the whole government.
Preach. Okay, next up, something near and dear to all our hearts, cost-cutting. April 5th, DOGE, in cahoots with several agencies, went on a contract killing spree. 63 contracts bit the dust.
63? That's a lot of red ink turning black.
You said it. The potential value of these contracts was a staggering $124 million. Now, the actual savings came out to $39 million, which, let's be honest, is still a hefty chunk of change back in the hands of hardworking taxpayers. But tell me, what were these contracts even for?
Well, let's just say some of them were eyebrow raising. For instance, There is a $1.25 million contract with HHS just to manage their Google AdWords. And another one, a cool $1.9 million for the State Department to get some global advisory services. You really have to wonder, couldn't they have handled some of this stuff in-house? Or maybe, just maybe, those services weren't so essential after all.
Right. It really makes you think about what we're spending money on. It's like going through your monthly expenses and realizing you're still paying for that gym membership you haven't used in years. Time to trim the fat, folks. It seems DOGE is all about prioritizing those core missions, making sure every dollar counts.
Absolutely. It brings up the question of how those contracts even got approved in the first place. What kind of checks and balances are in place to prevent this kind of, let's call it, creative spending from happening again? It's all about accountability, transparency, making sure taxpayer money is used wisely.
Now, let's switch gears for a sec and talk about how the government evaluates its own people. On April 7th, there was a rather intriguing update from the State Department. Apparently, for a while, they were heavily factoring in diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI for short, into their performance reviews for foreign service officers. We're talking 20% of the evaluation criteria.
What's really eye-opening is what they consider DEI criteria. They were looking at things like avoiding gendered adjectives, which sounds like a real linguistic tightrope walk, and faint praise. I mean, how do you even measure that? They also encouraged local organizations to promote DEIA training and even had annual DEIA activities. It's a whole world unto itself.
So basically, being a diplomat wasn't just about negotiating treaties and representing the U.S. on the world stage. It was also about navigating this whole labyrinth of DEI requirements. Now, while the update didn't spell out the new criteria, the fact that they yanked DEI as a major factor suggests a shift in priorities, maybe moving towards something a little more, shall we say, merit-based. What's your take on this?
Well, it definitely opens up a can of worms, doesn't it? What does it mean to be an effective Foreign Service officer in this new landscape? Are we focusing solely on those hard skills, the quantifiable metrics, or are there other, less tangible qualities that make a good diplomat? It's a complex question, no easy answers.
Okay, let's move on to where some of those freed up funds are heading. International development. On April 7th, the U.S. African Development Foundation decided to hit the cancel button on a bunch of grants, totaling a cool $51 million. And let me tell you, some of these projects, well, let's just say they sound a little more like entries in a weirdest business ideas competition.
Oh, do tell. I'm all ears.
All right, get this. $229,296 for marketing 100% organic shea butter in Burkina Faso. Not bad, right? But wait, there's more. $84,059 for a business incubator for spa and wellness entrepreneurs in Nigeria. And hold on to your hats, folks. Almost $250,000 to market pineapple juice in Benin.
Wow. Pineapple juice. I mean, it's delicious, but is that really the best use of taxpayer money?
Right. We've also got mango drying facilities, yogurt production, even a WhatsApp marketing chatbot. And the grand prize goes to, wait for it, training farmers to grow dragon fruit in Senegal. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's like someone raided the Shark Tank rejection pile for ideas.
It really does make you wonder about the rationale behind some of these initiatives. Was there a solid strategic goal in mind, or were these just pet projects with a feel-good factor?
Well, DOGE's stance seems pretty clear. They want to redirect those funds to what they consider more pressing issues here at home, things like infrastructure and national security. It's a pretty bold statement about where their priorities lie.
If we connect this to the larger picture of foreign aid, it could signal a move away from, let's say, more altruistic projects to a more pragmatic approach, focusing on those initiatives that directly benefit the U.S. or offer more immediate measurable returns. It's a shift in philosophy, no doubt about it.
All right, last but not least, we've got a little bit of a head scratcher. We checked out the official savings figure on Doge.gov, last updated at the end of March 2025, and it stands at a hefty $140 billion. Now, that includes $25 billion from canceled contracts and another $33 billion from those grant reductions. Pretty impressive, right?
It certainly paints a picture of significant cost savings achieved in just a few months of operation.
But here's the thing. Just a few days later, on April 4th, there's this public announcement on X claiming that the projected savings for the entire first year, all the way to December 2025, will be a whopping $151 billion. That's an $11 billion jump in a matter of days. What's going on here?
That kind of discrepancy definitely raises some questions. Maybe the official website is just slow to update, you know, government bureaucracy and all that. Or perhaps that public claim is based on projections, estimates, a different way of crunching the numbers. It's a reminder that keeping track of these huge financial shifts in real time is no easy feat.
It makes you think about transparency, right? How do we ensure that the public gets accurate, up-to-date information about how their tax dollars are being spent? It's crucial for accountability and trust in government.
Absolutely. Clear communication is key, especially when dealing with such significant sums and potentially controversial decisions. It's about building confidence and understanding among the public.
All right, folks, let's step back for a moment and look at the bigger picture. We've seen DOGE in action, diving headfirst into modernizing, slashing costs, and reevaluating spending priorities. What's your takeaway from all of this?
Well, it's pretty clear that this new agency is not afraid to shake things up. They're taking a very active, some might even say aggressive, approach to streamlining government and making sure every dollar counts. It's a new era of fiscal responsibility, that's for sure.
And let's be real. These kinds of bold moves are going to generate a lot of buzz, both good and bad. We've already seen some folks online praising these efforts, calling it a much-needed drain on the swamp. But of course, there are others who are a little more cautious, concerned about the potential impact of these changes, both here at home and abroad. It's a complex issue with a lot of different perspectives to consider.
Exactly. It's important to remember that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. What works in one area might not work in another, and there are always unintended consequences to consider.
So there you have it, folks. A front row seat to the DOGE show, April 2025 edition. We've seen them in action, witnessed their efforts to streamline and modernize, and even gotten a peek into those controversial spending decisions.
It's a fascinating case study in government efficiency, and it raises a lot of important questions about priorities, accountability, and the long-term impact of these kinds of initiatives.
Now, here's a little something for you to chew on as you go about your day. What's the right balance between those short-term cost savings and the potential long-term consequences? What are the metrics, beyond just the dollars and cents, that really matter when we're talking about the success of something like DOGE? It's a big question, folks, and one that deserves careful consideration.
Absolutely. We encourage you to dig deeper, explore the publicly available information, and follow the news to form your own informed opinions. It's a constantly evolving story, and staying engaged is key to understanding the full picture.
And that's it for this deep dive into DOGE. Thanks for joining us, folks. Keep those brains churning, and God bless the USA.
Until next time, keep asking those tough questions.